Rav Shvat, Tuesday the 7th of January, Rabbi Yaakov ben Zalkain, gefilte fish, horizontal bimmers, and other Ashkenazi Sephardi differences. Today's share has been sponsored Le'ilu Nishmas, Yosef Dov ben Moshe HaKohen, Elivetsky.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. And we're going to start with the second of the things that I mentioned, the horizontal bimmers. As you may have noticed, if you go to most Sephardi shuls, actually, to be more precise, Edut HaMizrach shuls, you find that the bima is usually shorter, not shorter, I mean narrower, and flat, as opposed to slanted. This is actually connected to a machloikas, which is encompassing a few things together. Let's just start with the following question, with the following idea. There is a very, very famous Sheva Brochos drasha that people say. That people say that when it comes to Hilchos Mezuzah, Hilchos Mezuzah, the Gemara has a machlokes as to how the Mezuzah should be placed. Should it be horizontal, should it be vertical? And there's two opinions, basically. And the Gemara's, and basically, Halacha, the Rama writes, it should be slanted. And people use this as a shavrach and say, you know what, because when it comes to bayis, when it comes to the home, you have to make a compromise. So even though you don't put it standing, you don't put it lying down, you put it slanted, you make a compromise. The truth is, it's very nice for a Sheva Brachos Torah, but it's really not true. You can't really say that in Halacha we make a compromise. There are two opinions. One says standing vertically. The other one says horizontally, that we're going to go slanted. Because that's nishtahid nishtaher. That's not following either opinion. In Halacha, you have to follow one opinion or the other, not neither of the two opinions. So how come we end up with a slanted mezuzah? And by the way, this is not just Ashkenazim put it slanted, Moroccans and other Sephardim, Edot HaMizrach put it standing straight. And we'll see where that comes from. That is a Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara says like this. It's Amar Bihuda Amar Rav, it should be here. Yes. Amar Bihuda Amar Rav. Asa kemin nagar. If you put the mezuzah, you put it like you put a bolt. Psula is possible. Says the Gemara, one second, how can it be? Ini veha ki atar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef amar kulhu mezuzah de beirabi kemin nagar havu. How can it be? Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef says that all the mezuzahs in the house of Rabbi were kemin nagar. Answers the Gemara, Avidan, kemin nagar havu avidan. Vehahi pischa, another problem, another issue. Vehahi pischa de ayel bei lebei. Rebbe lebei midrasha, and the door through which Rebbe used to go to the base medrash from his house, lo hava le mezuzah, didn't have a mezuzah. So answering the first question, the Gemara answers, lo kashya, had de avida kesichta, had de avida keistavira. One of them is the keminagar means keistavira, and the other one is keistavira. What is that? What is the explanation of that? So we have Machlekes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi writes like this. Rashi says, "Asa kemin nagar shekava vetachva besaf kenagar, that you fixed it like you, and you put it in like a nagar, like a bolt. Shetochavina nagarim bekotel kazeh, and it has a picture, and it seems like Rashi is talking about putting it horizontally. So if asa kemin nagar, if you put it horizontally, then it's possible. So how should you put it? You put it vertically. Says the Gemara, how can it be then that we're saying that in the house of Rebbe, it was all placed kemin nagar? Says Rashi, no, because this kemin nagar istavira haynu makom chibur hashok ve'aregel. Istavira means the knee, and the place of connection between the lower leg and the upper leg. Ve'omed, and that's standing. So when the Gemara says ke istavira, when it's a bolt, a vertical bolt, that's how the the bolts of Rebbe's house were, and therefore that was okay. But the bolt, which is horizontal, that wouldn't be okay, that would be possible, and that kesichta. Comes along Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos and has a problem. What's his problem? His problem is like this. Very, very interesting problem. He says, we look at the Gemara in Baba Basra, and in the Gemara Baba Basra tells us about how the Aron was, and how the Luchas was placed, and the Sefer Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, was placed in the Aron. And says Tosfos that the Gemara says over there that the Luchas were placed lying down. And says Tosfos, one second, maybe it was placed lying down because there was no place, there was no room. Says Gemara, no, because the height and the width of the Luchas were the same. So therefore, it would have been the same to put it standing or to put it lying down. Oh, sorry, the width. And there, so therefore, the height if you lie down, the depth. So it really could have been put in any particular way. So why did you put a lie down? Elama, you see from there that the way in which you should keep Kitva HaKodesh is lying down. So if that's the case, so really the mezuzah should be the same way. The mezuzah should also be put lying down. So you see from here that it's not a particular halacha of mezuzah. It's not a din mezuzah that mezuzah should be lying down or standing up or inclined. It's a din in Kitva HaKodesh. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam says from here that it must be that Rebbe's mezuzahs that were like a bolt were actually lying down. And when the halacha says that you shouldn't put it, it means you shouldn't put it standing up. You should put it lying down. Based on this is the minhag by the Sfardim hold like Rashi. Rambam Paskins like Rashi, that the Edut HaMizrach, Shulchan Aruch, Paskins like Rashi, and therefore mezuzot have to be straight, standing up. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, no, by the way, the Rabbeinu Tam also writes, then and Tosfos writes, that according to this, Rabbeinu Tam would hold that what we call Tfilin the Rabbeinu Tam, put together, Tfilin the Rabbeinu Tam would be lechatchila, not okay for Rabbeinu Tam. Because the tefillin also, besides the problem of the parshias and the order of the parshias, how would you stick the parshias of the tefillin inside? We stick them standing up. That's following the view of Rashi. But really, Rabbeinu Tam is consistent, then you should put the parshias of the tefillin lying down in the tefillin. And it comes out, lehalacha, that would be lechatchil according to Rabbeinu Tam. Nonetheless, Mishnah Brura writes that you don't have to, even if you're choshesh, and even if you want to put tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam, you don't have to put tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam lying down. First of all, according to this, since the machlokes of the order of the parshias and the way you put the parshias are two independent machlokes, if you wanted to be choshesh for that, you would have to have four pairs of tefillin. Right? It says the Mishnah Brura, in this we're not makpid and lechatchil, and b'di'eved is certainly okay, and therefore if you want to put the tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam, that's because of Alpi Kabbalah, there's an inyanim to put it, and therefore we only makpid with regards to the order of parshias. If you want to be makpid, you should be makpid on that, but not certainly not on the way to put the parshias. Now, there's a Bach, a Taz, first of all, who speaks about this issue, and at the end it writes down, Leinyan halacha, Nagu achshav b'mdinos elu. The halacha in our medinos, he says, lehanicho beshipua, to put the mezuzos beshipua, to put it in slanted, vechen manichin sefer Torah baheichal beshipua. And likewise, we should put a sefer Torah in the heichal beshipua. Which is interesting, because now, the older aroinos, the sefer Torahs, were leaning somewhat. Now what we do is we have these fancy chains, where we hold the Sefer Torah, that we put the Sefer Torah standing. Perhaps according to this, we shouldn't really put the Sefer Torah standing in the Bima, but actually we should put them a little bit slanted, like we would put in the Aron. Sorry, in the Aron, like we put the mezuzahs. Now, Tosfos actually here mentions that perhaps there is an opinion, Rabbeinu Tam holds that that he has a shtei lishoinos, and he says like this. There is one opinion is that he should put a slant. And it says maybe the other opinion is that he should put in like a nun. He should put actually bent over. And there is an opinion in Tosfos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that instead of putting it straight, you need to actually bend the mezuzah over, so that part of the mezuzah is horizontal, is vertical, and part of the mezuzah would be horizontal. According to the, if we analyze the Gemara now, we can look back and try and understand why slanted is okay. Let's think about it for a second. The Gemara does not tell us how should one place the mezuzah. The Gemara says if you put the mezuzah kenagar, is psula. The Gemara is telling us there's a position that if you put the mezuzah in that position, it's possible. It doesn't say that there's a chiyuv, there's a positive chiyuv to put it standing. There's only a prohibition to put it lying down, according to Rashi. If you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, what the Gemara is telling us is that there is a prohibition to put the mezuzah standing. The mezuzah should not be placed standing. So if one opinion says you shouldn't put it lying down, and the other opinion says you shouldn't put it standing, to put it slanted is actually a good compromise. You can make a compromise between not to do this and not to do that. But to make a compromise between you have to put it like this and you have to put it like that, that's not a compromise to put it midway. Midway is neither this one nor the other one. But if the requirement is not to put it lying down or not to put it standing, then by putting it slanted, you are making a compromise which is viable. And therefore, that's the pshat here, why one would put it slanted, because that is following both opinions and says, don't put it lying down, don't put it standing.
Could it not be, when it says, kamay nagar?
Yes.
You could either put it horizontal in line with the doorway, in other words, parallel to you as you go in.
Right.
My nagar is when you put a bolt into the wall, you actually drill it horizontally away from the door, if you like you were fixing the door frame to the door, to the wall. Yeah?
Right.
So all you'd see at the end, you'd see at the doorpost would be the end of the bolt, so to speak.
But how does that give you a slanted?
Horizontal that way. If this is the doorway,
right,
then kamay nagar would be drilled into the wall.
Into the wall, right.
So it would be horizontal that way rather than horizontal this way.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So it could be the psul of Rashi that he says kamay nagar is shot that you've drilled into the wall.
Oh,
so all
I see,
you see is the end of the mezuzah.
The end of the mezuzah.
Like you see the end of a screw, or you see the end of a nail.
Right, that could
bolt.
Be, yes. You're right.
To put it horizontally, munach.
Interesting, yes.
But just fixed, like we fix our mezuzah horizontal, b'shipua.
Right.
Fix it like that, so that you see the whole mezuzah, but lying down.
There's another halacha that you have to have a sheen that is visible, so therefore that would be...
Again, you achieve that, and the nagar that Rashi explains, kamay nagar is pshat.
Interesting. You're saying that it would be placed like this inside the wall this way, as opposed to inside the wall this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. That could be. Yeah, I didn't think of that possibility of horizontal.
I don't know.
Could be. There is an opinion. Fine. I want to move on to another, one of the opinions says later on that kesichta. At the end of Toises brings down an opinion that says that keistavira, that the Gemara is saying, is actually to put it slanted. Meaning not just that we have a compromise at the end of the day and you put it slanted, but the pshat ke istavira in the Gemara is actually to put it slanted. So that's interesting, because according to that it's really not a compromise altogether. There's another, the issue of the gefilte fish I mentioned, as you could have imagined. Let's go back to the bima. So according to, we finished with the Bach. And then the Taz commenting on this halacha says as follows: Katav Amor Dechai Bishmoy Sheomer Im Ezke. If I have this chus, Archivehu Lefi Ha'amadas Sefer Torah. If I zoyche to write a Sefer Torah, to build myself a Aron Kodesh, I'll I'll build it wide enough, lefiha abana sefer Torah meyushav, to put the sefer Torah actually lying down, ke sefer Torah she'emunach be'aron, vezu hi seder kriyaso ad kan l'shoyna. And that is also the seder kriyaso. So when the Taz says this, it means like this. When we speak about the placement of Kisvei HaKodesh, so far we saw the mezuzah. So far we saw putting the tefillin inside. So far we saw Sefer Torah and the Heichal. The Taz extends this even to the Sefer Torah Bekriyosoi. So therefore, in places of Edut HaMizrach, where the mezuzahs are standing according to Rashi and the Rambam, therefore the Sefer Torah has to be standing. How do you get a Sefer Torah to stand? You prepare a box. And that's why the Sefer Torah Edut HaMizrach are placed in a box, and they're standing on a bima, which is straight, which is horizontal, and then you can read the Sefer Torah completely vertical, and that would be Kisvei HaKodesh. That's exactly how that follows the halacha of the mezuzah. The bimas, people think that the reason why the bimas are slant is because it's much easier to read, because in order to read the whole daf, that you can see from top. But according to this, a seder kriyaso follows also the place of Kisvei HaKodesh, the way it should be. The same way the mezuzahs are slanted, the bimas should also be slanted. And that's why when we read the Sefer Torah, we would read it like that. The minhag of Moroccans...
Why 45 degrees?
Okay, good question. Why exactly does it have to be 45 degrees? It doesn't say anywhere where the Be'alachson is, it has to be specifically 45 degrees. Right? But it should be in a slant, a noticeable slant. Right, that's why he's saying, why isn't it 45 degrees? Huh? Right, it doesn't have to be 45 degrees. Okay, yeah. So... Moroccans who follow the mezuzah putting slanted, therefore if you see the Moroccan shuls will have a Sefer Torah also on poles, which are with eight Atzei Chaim, which are on the bima, and the bima is also slanted, and it's really one whole machlok. It's not two independent differences. The issue of gefilte fish, as you probably know, has to do with the problem of boirer, right? Sephardi countries never had gefilte fish. Not just because they don't like it. They never had. We also have, in Morocco, for example, there is such a thing as fish balls, which are cooked in a tomato sauce with peppers, etc. Right? And the minhag was not to have that on Shabbat. The minhag was to have regular fish. So how come the minhag developed in Ashkenaz to have gefilte fish on Shabbos? And in Sfard, there's no minhag to have specifically minced fish. So lichora, this is the machlokes with regards to boirer. To what degree is it a problem to separate the bones from the fish? Actually, it could be that there is a very simple difference, which is the fish that you could find in Eastern Europe, the carpion, for example, which is the main fish from which you make gefilte fish, is terribly bony. It's extremely difficult to actually eat it with the bones. Whereas most of Mediterranean fish, or fish that you find in the Middle East, they really have a shidra, they have the spine, which is very, very straight, and then once you take those bones, you can really eat the fish without much of a problem. So it could be it was just the type of fish that they had. But it could be not. It could be that really it was a problem with taking away the bones, and the halacha of taking away the bones. The bir halacha is a very long bir halacha in Siman Shin Yud Tes, where the Bi'ur Halacha discusses this issue. It discusses not only taking the bones out of the fish, also taking the bones out of meat. And he brings a Yamshel Shlomo. The Yamshel Shlomo discusses the case of cracked nuts and peanuts, where you've cracked them and now you have the shells and the actual nuts in front of you, and whether taking away the nuts constitutes a problem of boirer. And the Yamshel Shlomo says that it's not boirer, because that's a derech achilosoi. The way you eat it is like that, and it's not called boirer when something starts off as being one entity. When you take two things which are independent and you put them together and you mix them, that's a taruvis. But when something grows together, attached to each other, and then you're just trying to get to that which you're going to eat, that's not a process of boirer. Maybe that'll be dash, but certainly not boirer. And therefore, the bones and the fish is a part of the bones are part of the fish. There is no ta'arov. When you look at a fish, you don't see a ta'arovis of bones and flesh. You see a fish with bones. And therefore separating, even if you separate it, even if you were to separate the bones out of the fish, it's not a tarobah that you're separating from. And therefore, according to this, it would be okay. Now the Mishnah Berurah actually comes down that the Yamshel, even according to the Yamshel Shloimeh, one can extend, and the case of fish is even better. Nonetheless, he writes that it's preferable to be machmir, and try to take off the bones with some flesh, and even if you can't with some flesh, at least take the bones and then try and suck the bones a little bit, so at least you get something from the bones, and really you're taking the oichel mitoch psoiles, you're taking that which you want from that which you don't want. But perhaps this is the reason that the Sfarim were very much holding like this opinion, that once something grows together, that it's not called a tarubis, and therefore there isn't a problem of boiler, and therefore they didn't have to develop an alternative to regular fish with bones, and that's why they didn't have specifically ground fish for Shabbos. It's important to note that the same machlokes would apply to watermelon. The pits of the watermelon are also growing together as part of the watermelon, just like the bones of the fish. And therefore, according to this, if you are makel with regards to fish and bones, you would be makel likewise having the watermelon, and you could take the watermelon pits out before you put it in your mouth, because that would be the derech achila. What? If you machmir, like you would be machmir on fish, you would be machmir there. I'm saying it would be hainu hach. It would be exactly the same issue. There's another interesting machlokes. We have a couple of minutes. Yeah, we have a few more minutes. The next issue is an issue of there's actually a couple of issues that are tied in together. A bracha shein atzricha. The wrong chile. One second. Yeah. Bracha Sheina Tzricha and Sudas Shabbos. The Mishnah Brura, the Shulchan Aruch, when speaking about the Hilchos Shalosh Shudas, Shulchan Aruch writes that the Zman of Shalosh Shudas is Mishas HaMincha Ulmala. From the time of Mincha and onwards, the Hainu, half an hour after Chatzos. It's interesting that it actually gives a Zman. The Ramah in the same Siman writes that if a person were to miss the Suda Rishayna on Friday night, he should have three Sudas on Shabbos day to make up for the Suda that you missed the night before. Now, I think this is very significant, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't write this. And it's the Shulchan Aruch who writes that the Zman of Shalosh Sudas starts with Mincha. And this follows the Rambam. The Rambam actually points out the zmanim of each one of the sudas, and basically says that Friday night is the zman for the suda rishona. Shabbos morning, before chatzos, is the zman of suda shniya, and after zman amincha is the zman of shalosh sudas, which means that they're nigdar by the time. There's an interesting nafkamina according to this. According to the Rambam, if you hold that Shalosh Shudas is, and according to Shulchan Aruch really, Shalosh Shudas is based on the Zman. If you missed Retzei in Birkas HaMazon, the halacha is that if it's in one of the first two Sudas, you would have to repeat. But if it's Shalosh Shudas, then you don't have to repeat. Well, because you're not Mechuyah Bepas. So if we hold, if the Rambam is Leikuva, and the Rambam says that Shalosh Shudas, that the Suda Shania has to be before the Zman HaMincha, before Chatzos, then it would turn out that if you have your lunch already after Chatzos, after Zman HaMincha, which is very likely because you could come after Kiddushim, etc., you could be home and not sit down for your meal until 12:30, which 12:35 today is already Zman HaMincha. So you would now having really your Shalosh Shudas. This is your Suda Shlishi. And if you forgot Ritzei on that meal, according to Shulchan Aruch, you wouldn't have to repeat. You have to be worried about Bracha Levatala. There's another halacha Shulchan Aruch discusses, which is the halacha of breaking up, this is the same idea, breaking up your Suda. If you started your Suda before Chatzos, and you're continuing your Suda, and you want to make sure, it's in the winter like today, and you want to make sure that you're still hungry for Shalosh Shudas. So you know what? You're having your first course. You're having your cold cuts or schnitzel, whatever it is. You're going to have cholent. You have an idea, you know what? Maybe I should stop now. I'll bench. And after benching, I'll wash again. I'll make a moitzi. And I'll make this into my shalosh shudos, because it's already zman mincha. And my cholent with my, I'll have a challah again. And I'll be yotze shalosh shudos. I'll do mincha later. Am I allowed to break down my suda into two sudas in order to accomplish shalosh shudos? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that one is allowed to do that. What would be the problem? The problem is there a problem here with bracha sheina tzricha? Because you're having, for this meal that you're about to sit down, and the whole courses that you prepared for yourself, really, one netilas yadayim hamoitzi birkas hamazon would have sufficed. And now you're making two out of them. Why? Because you want to accomplish what you want to accomplish, your shalosh shudos. But mitzad di achila, you don't need it. So here's the question. When do we say bracha shena tzricha? Meaning, I don't need this bracha. So if I'm sitting down and I'm having an apple and an orange, right? To have the apple and to say bar nefashis on the apple and then to say bar priyait again on the orange and then say bar nefashis on the orange, that's a bracha shena tzricha. Because I can do it with what? It's not tzricha. I could, but it's not tzricha. It's not necessary. I could put it all together. Now, when a bracha is tzricha for the bracha itself, like for example, when you have a suffix brachos, and you don't know whether you need to make another bracha on this or not, or for example, a classic example, bracha shena tzricha, suffix bracha shena tzricha, which we are allowed to make, if you have a taruvis in front of you, and you're not sure whether one of the items in the taruvis is bottled to the other. Right? So you take that which you think might be bottled, you take it aside, you put it separately, you make a bracha on it, and then you make a bracha on the rest. But maybe it's a bracha shena tzricha. Well, the fact that I want to eat this whole thing together, and I might be a bracha leva, I might miss out on a bracha, that makes it tzricha. It's not called eina tzricha. My suffix makes it tzricha. But what happens when the tzorech is not a tzorech of the achila of this particular thing? It's a tzorech which comes from the outside. So that's the question here, and according to Shulchan Aruch, even a tzorech which is from the outside, i.e. my tzorech to make my shalosh shudos, that would also be considered a tzorech. And the minhag in many Moroccan homes on Shabbos, Shabbos morning, is one comes back from shul, one makes kiddush, and one tastes, ha'etz, ha'adama, not no mezonos, ha'etz and ha'adama and shehako, and then one moves on. Why? Because we want to make up for mea brachos. One second. It's not a tzorech of the eating that you're sitting down for right now. It's a tzorech which is an external tzorech. So the minhag Ashkenazim is, even if you try and make up a mea brachos, the minhag is not to do it between kiddush and hamotzi, because of this reason, that it may be a bracha shena tzricha, right? But according to Sfarim, who don't hold, as we saw, that bracha shena tzricha, if the tzorech is external, it's still called the tzorech. Therefore, they don't have a problem if the tzorech is mea brachos to also interrupt between kiddush and hamoitzi and to have the shehako at the bar priya 8, bar priya adama, and shehako. Have a great day.
Thank you.